It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent. Last Friday morning, computers around the world opened up to an error screen that Microsoft users call the blue screen of death.
Around the planet, computer systems crashed, reportedly because of a faulty software update from a cybersecurity company called CrowdStrike. Thousands of organizations, including some U.S. government agencies, rely on their software.
CrowdStrike's update caused widespread system failures affecting local governments, hospitals, airports, and businesses around the globe, including here in Wisconsin.
Taxi companies and ticketing venues had to switch to paper and pencil. Dozens of flights were delayed or canceled at the Milwaukee airport, and health clinics had to reschedule or delay some procedures.
While the outages caused the most disruption on Friday, the ripple effects could be felt through the weekend as IT departments everywhere scrambled to get their computer systems back up and running. Keetron Evans is a cybersecurity researcher at InfoSec, a technology training company based in Wisconsin. Keetron, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's start with how this happened on Friday. How could a faulty software update like this at one company have so many ripple effects around the world?
Well, it starts with the fact that when you look at the update that CrowdStrike pushed out, the CrowdStrike product, the Falcon product that they're using and that people are using, has what we call very privileged access to the core or the kernel of Windows. And because of that very privileged access, it's allowed to do things that most software is not able to do. And what happened is when this update went out, there was a faulty, the way it was coded was had a little fault in it. And it essentially tried to write or do something in memory that's not allowed. And when that happens in Windows, Windows just tends to shut down to protect itself. And that's what the blue screen is, and that's what's happening.
And as far as I know, this only occurred on Microsoft operating systems. We did not see this on Apple operating systems or Linux operating systems. But how much of the world is operating on Microsoft, Keetron?
Well, a lot of the world is operating on Microsoft, you know, somewhere 70% or north of that. But the other thing to remember, too, is it's not just the end users. It's the infrastructure like the servers that hold all the data that a lot of us are using, and the servers that decide if we get access to things or not. All those servers, or a lot of those servers, run Windows as well. So when those devices are shut down, it's a multitude of effect, right? So you might have one device that's shut down because of this, but it might affect 20,000 users that use that device to log into the network.
Keetron Evans, it sounds like this privileged access might be part of the problem. Can you explain a little bit more about what this means and where the privileged access rights come from?
Yeah, so this is not uncommon for software like Falcon that CrowdStrike rides out. For example, for it to be able to protect you properly and see those deep, deep rootkits and really advanced malware that gets to that level of privilege by escalation or whatever that malware did, you need something operating at that level to be able to see those things. So it's kind of a necessary evil for the software to be able to protect you in the way that it's supposed to.
But you would expect that this these software updates are tested before they're put out. Why would testing fall short and create or not prevent an outage like this that we saw on Friday?
Generally, those updates are tested thoroughly before they're pushed out. But oftentimes, when it's a critical security update, it's a major flaw that's trying to be protected against. Sometimes they may not go through the same rigor that the traditional, more standard types of updates go out through.
So this update came from a company called CrowdStrike and their software Falcon, which had privileged access to Microsoft computers, forcing this update, which caused this outage. What is CrowdStrike? What do they do?
So CrowdStrike provides cybersecurity in the form of what they're most known for is endpoint security and aiding us in responding to incidents. So in other words, every device that's running on your network, you might have a CrowdStrike agent running on there, and that agent is constantly watching every detail of everything that's happening on every device in your enterprise. So when someone tries to attack or when a piece of malware gets onto your device, it knows about it immediately. It can grab it, eradicate it, and report back to a central point that your security people can handle and triage that malware really quickly.
our guest, Keetron Evans, cybersecurity researcher at InfoSec, technology training company based in Wisconsin. And does outage like this that we saw on Friday and over the weekend, does that have the potential for security breaches going forward, Keetron?
Well, it does, because what happens is you have kind of all hands on deck trying to respond to this, right? So if everybody's looking to this thing, trying to fix this, trying to get stuff back up and running, it kind of opens a door for an attacker to kind of slip in amongst all the noise.
Have we seen outages like this before? Some experts are calling it the largest IT outage in history. And what, should we expect to see outages like this in the future?
I think it is probably the largest when you look at the sheer number and the number of companies and organizations affected. And will we see these in the future? I think there'll definitely be some changes in how these updates are vetted before they're pushed out. But I don't think this is a one-off thing. Essentially, it could have happened to any company that has privileged access to your Windows operating system that's allowed to push out updates. So I don't think we've seen the absolute last time that something like this is going to happen.
So I'm curious about some of these ripple effects we saw over the weekend. People stranded at airports, that was a big one. And so how can what may seem like a simple computer outage create so many flight delays, so many cancellations?
Well, so when you look at how airlines work and how the reservation systems and things like that work, we interact with people mostly. We don't interact with the computers at the airport other than just checking into your ticket. But when you try to check in and you can't get your ticket or you can't check in, the first thing you do is you have to go talk to a person at that point. And those people, they're still going to interact with a computer that you can't see. So on the back end of that, it's all being controlled by the same computer network, the same software. And when that stuff goes down, you just can't move forward. You can't move past that point of I made it to the airport, now I need to check in. You can't get past that point without those critical systems operating properly in the background.
Keetron, what should chief information officers and IT departments be thinking about, be prioritizing following Friday's outage?
I think they should be prioritizing business continuity, disaster recovery, you know, to where you exercise for things like this. When critical systems go down, you have to have a very quick way to restore to a known good state and get things back up to an operational state as quickly as possible. I think there's some lack of preparation a lot of times just because we don't have events like this happen very often. So therefore, we don't prep as much as we should. So I think there should be an uptick in the amount that we do tabletops and we do live exercises to prepare for these types of things.
What about system redundancies, Keetron?
Absolutely. The problem with system redundancy is if you have systems that are redundant to each other, but they both get the update, for example, because it's a critical update, then both your primary system and the redundant system would probably go down. So that won't help as much as it seems like it would, but that's definitely still a practice you should do.
Yeah. So what about, since I mentioned this only happened on Microsoft operating systems, and Microsoft is one of the leading operating systems, the leading operating system, at least in our hemisphere. So what do you think about Microsoft's market share and whether or not, you know, is it dangerous for one company to have so much control over our computer systems?
Well, I think there's always a single point of failure type risk, right? When you have a company that's so dominant like that. But there's also some things that we've gained. There's standardization. You know, most people are comfortable working in a Windows environment. So I think there's more positive to negative to having, you know, the makeup that we have here. But that speaks a lot to maybe diversifying and having alternative ways to do things in your organization.
And with Friday putting this on people's radar everywhere, is there moves that Congress can make? Are there regulations or rules that might prevent this in the future?
I don't know if we could regulate our way out of this. It's, to me, it's one of those things to where we just have to get tighter around how we recover from things like this, because there's going to be blue screens. Systems are going to crash for whatever reason. The fact that a lot of organizations weren't able to recover or get themselves back to a good operating state in a reasonable amount of time, I think, is a big problem. That's not to give CrowdStrike a pass. Like, there's definitely some failures on their part as far as how these updates are rolled out. And that needs to be looked at a little more closely. And there may be some things that we can do to help them on that. But, you know, I want to be clear here. I'm not recommending that people not use CrowdStrike or not use Windows. I think that that's a little bit immature from a, you know, just from an operations standpoint to try to completely change how you operate based on something like this. But I think on both sides, you know, on the CrowdStrike side and on the customer side, we have to be a little more diligent in how we prepare to recover from disasters like this.
And that's what I'm hearing from you, Keytron, is that we may not be able to prevent it, so the best we can do is prepare for it. But I want to ask, what would it take to prevent outages like this going forward? What could be done to make sure that our systems run without the concern of a global failure?
So I think one thing is, as we look at how we operate today, one of the things you mentioned earlier is redundancy. And just having systems kind of on standby that you can spin up kind of in a crunch to take on the load of whatever your fail systems are. And again, that being able to go back in time, you know, most operating systems have those capabilities now to where that bad file that CrowdStrike pushed out, you should be able to go back to a day before or a couple of days before to where that hadn't happened yet. Now, there's going to be issues with that with things like servers and domain controllers, because you can't just go back in time like that without causing an even bigger disruption. But where we can do that, we have to be able to plan for that. And we do have systems in place and we have processes in place to prevent these types of things. I just don't think they were executed on very well. You know, we just weren't ready for this, weren't looking for it to happen.
Hey, Keytron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
That was Keytron Evans, cybersecurity researcher at InfoSec, a technology training company based in Wisconsin. He was with us for a look at last week's CrowdStrike system failures and the ripple effects that are still being felt this morning.